I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Carrie and Jesse Show. Jesse's out of town. My good friend Matt Arnold is filling in every Friday, Matt, and I thank you for doing that.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here, Carrie.
And Matt, I wanted to change the, like last Friday was our first Friday where you and I did some catechetical teachings of the catechism, because I think like this, that on Fridays, we'll go away from the cultural issues of the day and build people up with their knowledge and love through scripture and the catechism, to help them have a better relationship with Jesus, because I think that's going to help them get to heaven.
Well, and it's also going to, if you really want to change the culture, I think that that's the first step.
Yeah. And I got some great news stories coming up to lift you up, and we're going to get into Bishop Sheen. We're going to feed you with the catechism, scripture we're going to read. We're obviously going to take our scripture reading from Daily Mass. And it's interesting, we keep having the readings from Matthew, second Friday in a row, Matthew's going to read from Matthew. So Matthew, I think it's the Gospel of Matthew, chapter what, 11?
Chapter 12, verses 1 through 8.
Okay.
So a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus was going through a field of grain on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "See, your disciples are doing what is unlawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? How he went into the house of God and ate the bread of offering, which neither he nor his companions, but only the priests, could lawfully eat? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests serving in the temple violate the Sabbath and are innocent? I say to you, something greater than the temple is here. If you knew what this meant, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would have not condemned these innocent men. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Matthew, I think of people being so particular about the laws. And I know that the Jews had like 600 and something rules to follow. And it was, you know, so clear. Everything was just, you couldn't do this, you could do that. I even think of I've had to advise mothers, and I know you've probably had this even with your own wife, when the kids were young on a Sunday, they needed mom because the kids were really sick. And Matt, I've done it with my wife where I went to a separate mass.
Mm-hmm.
I went and watched the kids, and then she went to another mass.
Sure.
But when the kids were really sick, you know what my wife told me? I'm staying home.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you can't handle this. And she was right.
Yeah.
The child needs...
Well, and that's perfectly legitimate.
See, that's my point. The rule is we have Sunday Mass, but there are exceptions.
Well, of course.
And that's all I wanted to...
Something good on TV is not one of those.
No, that's for sure. And before I... So that's our scripture verse, and I would encourage you to read the entire Gospel of Matthew. I know it's one of the... It's long, but there's a lot of fundamental teachings of Christ in Matthew.
You know, of the three synoptic Gospels, they always say if you can find it in the synoptics, you can find it easiest in Matthew.
That's right.
Because of the way it's laid out.
Exactly.
You know? And it really, in the liturgical tradition of the church, Matthew has been the go-to Gospel for everything that's not only in the Gospel of John. Because it is, because it's so logically laid out and because it fits together so perfectly. It's really called the Gospel of the Church for that reason.
Wow, well said. Let's bring Bishop Sheen into the room. Oh, Sheen ahead. And again, pray for that beatification. I've been telling everybody, I'm understanding that the Bishop of Peoria is requesting September 19th for the beatification of Fulton Sheen because it's his 100th anniversary of his priesthood. We don't know if that date's going to be accepted, but I got to tell everybody, once we know the date is set, we're going to have a pilgrimage to the beatification, and I've got a travel agency that we're working with, Steve Ray's agency, to set that up for us. But here's the quote by Bishop Sheen, and this is something about the rosary. Matt, I don't know if you remember, I asked you last Friday to talk about the power of the rosary.
That's right.
Well, today, Bishop Sheen has a comment about the rosary. He says, "The rosary is the best therapy for these distraught, unhappy, fearful, frustrated souls precisely because it involves a stimulus use of three powers: physical, vocal, and spiritual, and in that order. And I thought about that. How many people are really upset about the world situation with, you know, what's going on in the Middle East, mm-hmm. what's going on in my family? Pull out the rosary, because that's where you're going to find your peace, and offer that rosary. Remember what Our Lady of Fatima talked about, praying the daily rosary for world peace, and that includes your family.
That's right. You know, I think the rosary is, well, of course, it goes without saying that it is mm-hmm. the one prayer that is most often recommended by the popes and by the church as the most efficacious after the Mass and the Divine Office. It is the most efficacious prayer that Christians can offer in common, right? So to pray with your family, or to pray in a group especially. But as Bishop Sheen, it has all those same things that the liturgy has, because you involve yourself physically with the beads and with the vocal prayer, and then also with the contemplation at the same time. So you have mental prayer, vocal prayer, and you're using your body just like you do at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass.
I've heard Steve Ray say that going to the Holy Land is like the fifth gospel. And I think he quoted Paul VI. But I think the rosary can be considered a gospel because it meditates on the life and death of Jesus Christ.
That's right. It's all about the life of Christ and of course, our Blessed Mother's role in his life
You
know, beginning with the Assumption and all the way to the Annunciation.
Yes.
All the way to the coronation of Mary as Queen of Heaven.
I also want to lift you up with some good news stories, because, you know, we're looking at a church right now that's hemorrhaging, but Jesus is counting on you and I, all of us, to be praying for Holy Mother Church. And that's where we were last night at our chapel before our Eucharistic King for 2 hours, praying for our priests, our bishops, and the Holy Father.
Tell me what you said, Terry.
Tell me what I said.
After you said, you told me that after that prayer last night.
Yeah, you know. I said to my wife after we prayed, and believe me, all day long I had people calling me for advice, and I was giving, you know, I met a higher than a captain that in the sheriff's department at In-N-Out Burger I was evangelizing yesterday to, who I used to umpire baseball games for. Mm-hmm. What? I'm getting old, yes. And so I thought about it, and I was pretty tired and had a lot of issues. And so we go on Thursday nights to pray. And after the holy hour, 2 hours of praying before the Blessed Sacrament, I got in the car and I said, honey, I believe what we just did was so much more than going on the radio, talking to people about the faith, and, you know, doing what we can to try and further the cause. The prayers are really the most efficacious thing we can do. And it hit me as I was going home last night.
Yeah, it's really good to remember that prayer for Catholics, you know, it needs to be our first response and not our last resort.
Amen. And, you know, here's a little good news story about prayer, now that you mention it. It says the impact of prayer on sleep. How many of you have a problem sleeping at night? Raise your hand. If you're driving, don't raise your hand. Well, this article confirms what Jesse and I have done many shows on, that when you do pray, it does help you in your sleep, because it settles you down. You're focused on, your heartbeat goes down, everything, because you're focusing on our Lord or our meditation. And this is one of the reasons I'll go on and say at night, what I do is we pray our evening rosary and our examination of conscience. And above my bed in my room, I have a 5-foot image of Jesus holding the little children in the garden. Everybody knows that picture.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do to help me to get to sleep, I say, Jesus, can I jump up in your lap? Mm-hmm. And then I go to sleep in his arms, just like a little boy. And I'm 62 years old, but it's because I can focus not on myself, but on God. And I think that's why prayer helps you sleep. Good news story. I love this one. I said, man, a 9-year-old little boy in New York is leading a campaign to convert the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, after he legalizes abortion up to birth. Now, Matthew, this little boy said, Daddy, I'm so upset about what they did about killing unborn babies in New York, even after they're born. And I wanna pray. I wanna make sacrifices. He's 9 years old. He got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mom and Dad, you really did a great job. Yeah. So they were friends with the Franciscan priests in New York, Father Benedict Rochelle's order, and the priest encouraged him to begin an online campaign to restore protection for unborn babies and change pro-life lawmakers' heart. So in April, he and his father set up convertcomo.com. What? Yeah, it's a website. Now, I like this, Matthew, that a little boy at 9 years old says, I know the rosary is sharper than any sword. So I'm guessing that this idea is the second strongest, Jack said on his website. 9 years of age.
That's really something. And you know what? Of course, he's on the right track because prayer is the soul of all of this work, all of the soul of the apostolate.
And here he's 9 years old. He's got 2,100 people have committed to pray and fast through Jack's website. The family said they plan to send the prayers to the governor at some point. I think that's a good idea.
Can I interject an idea here?
Yes,
because it's something
do.
That I think about.
Sure.
You know, of course, we've known Lila Rose, live action,
sure.
And David Delight, and the work that he has
yes.
done, and the Red Rose Rescue,
yep.
Father Nick's, and all them.
Yep.
And we've had a couple of really major motion pictures in the last couple of years, Unplanned, and another one, and some. You want to believe that just raising awareness mm-hmm. of what abortion really is going to change hearts and minds. But I'm here to tell you, it's prayer that does that.
Well said. When we come back, we're going to give you some more good news stories and then get right into the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold's filling in for Jess today. I'm Terry Barber, and I'm too blessed to be stressed. We'll be right back. This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Bishop David O'Connell, and you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
Hey, it's Terry and Matthew this
That's
time
right.
around, this Friday, and I wanted to add a little something to my closing remarks. So we ran out of time in the last segment, mm-hmm. and I was talking about, you know, some of the pro-life activism and the people that have done so much great work, like Lila Rose and David Dalyden. And I mentioned the movies Unplanned and the Gosnell movie. Oh, yeah. Remember that? Oh, my God.
Powerful.
Horrific and very powerful. But I said that prayer is most important. Of course, all those apostolates, all the people behind those things are, in fact, very prayerful. Mm-hmm. Because the thing is, that you know, it's people, you know, you're talking about Andrew Cuomo here. We're talking about some of these people. The fact of the matter is, when the Gosnell trial happened, you know, when Lila Rose's video started coming out, and people realized, I think, what I realized is that a lot of the pro-choice people, they know perfectly well that they're killing babies.
Oh, yeah.
It just doesn't bother them. And that's not, information isn't going to be enough to change hearts and minds that have been that hardened, right? That's something prayer. Jesus Christ is going to have to break their hearts in order for them to you know, come around. So I just wanted to,
well, thank you, Matt.
To make that clarification that it's like, I'm not saying stop doing your pro-life stuff. You know, I'm saying that all of us need really to pray and remember that those people, the pro-choice people, are not our enemies.
Nope.
They are the people that we need to convert and make our friends and allies.
Well, Matthew, that reminds me of what Our Lady of Fatima said. More souls are going to hell because of sins of the flesh. And she also said, souls are going to hell because there's no one there to pray and make sacrifices. Right. So we can do that even if you're 5 years of age. Look what this
nine-year-old boy, yeah, perfect example.
Perfect. He says, no, I'm not going to take it sitting down. And I think of, you know, throughout the 2,000-year history of the Catholic Church, we've been through some tough times. Mm. And I'll give you an example. Just 75, 80 years ago when World War II was going on, here's a Polish woman who was arrested in Poland for hiding Jewish kids.
This was during the
height of the war. Yeah. And I'm not talking about 10 or 15 kids. She hid 2,500 Jewish children. And finally, she got arrested in 1942 and, you know, paid a terrible price for her crime. Her crime was
saving lives.
And so.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, you see, that's where I was going with that connection. Is that she did it 75, 80 years ago. Don't think that our times are any tougher than the times have been before. Mm-hmm. And so I bring this up because even right now in America, last time I looked, we can still go to church on Sunday.
Right.
Now, in other countries like China, here's a article from Cardinal Zen urging loyal Chinese Catholics to fight for the faith amid worsening persecution. This story, because it's just to refresh your memory, in China, the state-run government wants to have a church run by the atheistic communists.
In fact, they do. Yeah, the people's church.
The patriotic church. Yeah. And so, unfortunately, a deal was cut with the Vatican that former Cardinal McCarrick, had a lot to do with this, so that makes me worried that he was there. And so now he says, this is the advice of Cardinal Zen. You can never renounce your faith. But in difficult times, this is advice right now to us, Matt. Mm. But in difficult times, you can renounce the benefits of the sacraments. What? Let him explain. Because they are not available. Mm-hmm. That might happen to us in America. Because God is able to give grace even outside the sacraments, he said. Extraordinary circumstances. Catholics, he added, may offer sacrifice and hope for better times. We put ourselves in the hands of God.
Well, reading between the lines, yeah, there, basically saying, yeah. You know, it better for you not to receive the
That's
sacrament
right.
than to go to the phony
That's exactly
church.
What he's saying. Exactly what he's saying. And again, I'm only saying this, if ever it happened in America that the apostate left the church, the teachings of the church, mm-hmm. like, I'll give you an example, terrible one, but I want to recommend people to go to LifeSite News and watch John Henry Weston's 14-minute video about the Amazon Senate that's going to go on. And he gives a great history of the church teachings regarding women's ordination to diaconate and to the priesthood, that it can't happen. But there's a lot of guys that are in high positions in the church that are trying to do that. If for some reason, Matthew, we had some church locally start ordaining women, I could never go to that church again.
Of course not. Of course not.
So that's all I'm saying. Now, remember, the church has been here before. And I'm going to give you a quote from a very holy saint, Saint Boniface, 13 centuries ago. I have a short memory. No. And St. Boniface writes in these troubled times of the 7th century, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Here's our duty, he says, and it applies 1,300 years later and 1,300 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on her course. Well, how do we keep the church on our course? Number one, we talked about it, prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And a life of holiness.
Right.
Your daily duties. If you're a husband, a student, whatever, do your duties in your state and life. That's what you can do to help the church today. Now, I want to give, I want to say thank you, Pope Francis, because, you know, sometimes, Matthew, I'm critical when he comes up with things. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm critical because if the perennial teachings of the church is what I'm looking for and what I should get, I should be confirmed by the Pope in the teachings. That's part of what the Catholic Church teaches as a job description of the Holy Father. Not my job description, the church's. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I want to say thank you, Pope Francis, for confirming me in my faith, because the Pope did something that I thought was really beautiful. Pope Francis phoned Vincent Lambert's mom with a touching message as her son was laying dying. If you recall, they pulled a plug, basically, on this
right.
man.
Right, he's essentially the French Terry Schiavo.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And the very fact that the Pope would make a phone call to the parents, I think that's magnanimous. And I want to say thank you, Pope Francis, because that's something that I try to do in my own life. Even though I'm just a little guy, people get blown away when I call them to say happy birthday or just any kind of greetings to people. And they're like, am I on the air?
Yes, there's a nobility there. And you know that to be a superior in any way, whether you're a parent or a bishop or whatever, what's the primary job of a bishop?
To teach, govern, and sanctify.
Well, that's right. And in that order, you realize that a bishop, his primary job is as teacher.
Yes.
And often, and the best way to teach is by example. That's the way our Lord did it. And so it's well to remember that if you're in a position of authority, that teaching by example, that there is a great nobility in recognizing the people that are counting on you and being able to go to them personally and speak that way. It was a very noble thing for the Pope to do.
I can't believe Matthew just said this, because in the catechism that we're going to teach today, it gives the direction of the church about the teaching church.
Mm.
And before I get into the catechism, I just want to set the stage again for why we're in such trying times, because of sin. Okay, we've turned away, we've not hit the mark, and the sexual abuse problems in the church are horrible. We know that. I'm in a diocese where over $1 billion has been spent because of sexual abuse, and I can go on and talk about all the problems, but here's my point. I'm giving an example. In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the diocese is having problems paying their bills. Because, as you probably know, they're facing a lot of sexual abuse allegations. And here's an example of why the church is hemorrhaging, because we have not lived the holiness of what God is calling us. In that diocese, as of the 2016, there were 660,000 baptized Catholics. As of right now, Matthew, 120,000 are going to Sunday Mass that they know of.
Okay. Well, let's take a step back. They have 250,000 Catholics.
That's right.
In this diocese.
Yeah.
And 120,000 of them.
That's all.
Fulfill their obligation.
19%.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's the problem. They got declining Mass attendance. Donations have gone down 11% just since the summer.
Wow.
And it's a continual spin. Well, here's my point. My big point is, I think so many people in the last 50 years, I'm just being honest, 40 of those I've been very active in the church,
mm-hmm.
don't know their faith.
Well, that's it. That's it in a nutshell. And that's why, you know, that's why this programs like this and apostolates, the lay mm-hmm. apostolate generally, yeah. is important, because not so much because of what we're doing, but because, you know, it's helping to energize people like you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're the one. You're the future of the church. You're the one that's going to turn the tide. It's you.
That's right.
And I'm not asking you to paint a placard and go out and protest. I'm asking you to get down on your knees.
Yep.
And turn to our Lord.
You nailed it.
And be
you
an example.
It. Yep. And here's one section of the catechism before we take a quick break. This is the beginning of the catechism of the Catholic Church. I'm going to ask you a question before we break. Has anybody listening right now, raise your hand if you have. I can't see you, but raise your hand. If you've ever read the Catechism of the Catholic Church from cover to cover? No, I didn't think so. Have you read, when was the last time you opened it? Well, why do I say this? Because knowledge builds confidence. And not, and when we read these catechism chapters, what we're going to do is it's going to build your love for Jesus and your relationship, because you're going to go, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's interesting.
Do we have time to share your comments you made about the Council of Trent?
Yeah, we can do that, because I'll do it real quick. The Council of Trent, it's kind of a similar time. The church was in shambles. I'll just be real quick here.
Mm-hmm.
It was so bad, everybody, check this out, that when you went to confession, if you went to the priest, you had to give him a piece of paper to tell him, here's the prayers that you pray over me to absolve me, Father. What? They didn't even know how to do that. It was so bad. So what did the church do? And what it's doing right now, I hope, and we do more of, and that is the Council of Trent said, okay, everybody, we're going to come out with a catechism that's very clear,
yep,
and direct about everything we believe, and I'm going to have the priests every Sunday not talk about, the latest movie or what's going on. No, it's going to be a catechetical teaching through the catechism, so that by the time the year ends, you're going to have a fundamental teachings on the faith, so that builds
your
faith.
That's it. There is right in the Catechism of the Council of Trent, the Roman Catechism,
yeah,
there is the sermon program for the year.
Yeah,
and
it's
back in those days, they had a yearly lectionary.
Right.
So it was every year,
right,
it just cycled around the same readings over and over again. You know, because repetition
we
is the mother of teaching.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Mother of learning. And so they had a sermon program. And so for every single Sunday, there was a moral and a doctrinal topic that the priest was required
what
to preach on.
What a novel idea.
So that every year you were just going through the whole faith.
I love it. And I say this because, Matthew, you teach this today in the RCIA,
yes,
am I right?
Yeah, and on Shield of Faith, which is coming up after this program today, I use that same sermon program all the time.
If it worked back then, it should work now.
I should think so.
Yeah. When we come back, we're going to delve into the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Get yourself a cup of coffee. I need you to be alert, okay? We'll be back with more of the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold filling in for Jess Romero. I always say we're too blessed to be stressed and too anointed to be disappointed. We'll be back with much more here at Virgin Most Powerful. This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse is not here. Can you tell? Yeah, if you're watching YouTube, you can. It's Matt Arnold. And Matt, thanks again for joining me on Fridays. Matt is actually going to have his show right after this one. And Matt, do you have a little teaser for us?
Yeah, well, this week we're going to be talking about growth in Christ-likeness. So
awesome.
Yeah, that's actually something that everybody needs, me especially.
Me too. Sign me up. Well, I want to read, this is the beginning of the Catholic Catechism that came out in 94, I got my English one, or 93, somewhere in there. But I want to just say that in 1985, at an extraordinary Senate, the church realized something that Bishop Sheen said right after the council, that we missed the mark by not coming out with a catechism for the Second Vatican Council, and that he said that I might not see it, but I think the church will respond eventually and come out with a catechism. Now, he said that in 1970.
Wow.
I mean, it took 15 years.
Yeah, well.
Five, and then it happened. But here's what the church's teachings are and why they wrote it. And the first section is the life of man to know and love God. Matt, just like what you're going to talk about, I have to say this before I begin. I would prefer to talk about the Eucharist, confession, all these beautiful teachings, the commandments, because the value of what we're going to teach you right now is heavenly.
Back in 1972, I was 13 years old.
I remember 72.
And I was really at that point getting into listening to the radio, right? That's the kids, in our day, the internet was called the radio.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I mean, that was teen culture almost exclusively.
I had a transistor, baby. Yeah.
And so, you know, the music and all the rest of it. And there was a song. I mean, it wasn't a big, wasn't one of my favorites necessarily, but it reached number 14 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Well, that's pretty good.
The song Day by Day, which was from Godspell.
I remember it.
And it's the only song in the show that isn't based right on Scripture. Mm-hmm. But it's you know, day by day, these three things, O Lord, I pray, to see you more clearly, yep, to love you more dearly, that's to right, follow you more nearly.
That's right.
Know, love, and serve. Do you realize that the text of that song actually is from a prayer written by St. Richard of Chichester, who was a medieval English Catholic saint.
I got educated. I bet you did too.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like this, what he's saying, what we're talking about today, ain't new.
No.
Okay, it is the fundamental teaching. The Baltimore Catechism referred to it as the meaning and purpose of life.
That's right, to know, love, and serve God. Okay, Matt, this is exciting for me, and I want to remind everybody to buy a catechism. I really believe the Baltimore Catechism is one of the best for the kids. As a matter of fact, Matthew, when you worked at St. Joe's, you produced a DVD called Our Catholic Faith with sacred art communicating the Catholic faith for not just children, because I've had adults tell me, wow, I learned a lot from that 58-minute video.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's essentially just the responses for the questions of Baltimore Catechism number one.
Yeah. And so if you want to get a copy of that, call 877-526-2151. I just want to give it to you because it's so important.
How many of those DVDs have been distributed?
Hundreds of thousands through Lighthouse Catholic Media. And I'll give you an example. I give this to people all the time, and just I'm going to go off the tangent on it, but a girl who was at Loyola Marymount College in Los Angeles, she was majoring in communications, and I happened to meet her because I was going through the certification of the diocese to to get fingerprinted and all that.
Right, right.
And the guy goes, oh, you got to meet Terry Barber. He's a radio host. So I met the girl and we started talking. And I said, I found out from just talking to her that she had no clue about her Catholic faith. You know, mm-hmm. she had, let's see, 16 years of Catholic education.
Ooh.
So I gave her Fulton Sheen's Life is Worth Living and the Catechism of the Catholic Church and all these, you know, the DVDs. And I had a bunch of stuff in my car. Well, she came back and told me that she was blown away that she learned more from that one DVD. I'm talking about our Catholic faith. Mm-hmm. That 58-minute DVD taught her more about Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, than 16 years of Catholic education. Now, that's how sad it is.
Yeah.
So now you know why I'm going to read from the Catechism, because we need it. All right. The life of man to know and love God. God, infinitely perfect and blessed in himself, in a plan of sheer goodness, freely created man to make him share in his own blessed life. Matthew, right there, that one sentence tells you why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, for this reason, at every time and in every place, God draws close to man, and he calls man to seek him, to know him, to love him with all his strength. Well, I wish I could preach that from the rooftops every day, because mm-hmm. it's so many people have no clue that that's why they're here. They're oblivious. They act like God doesn't exist. Now, he calls together all men scattered and divided by sin. Wow. Into the unity of his family, the church. To accomplish this, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son as Redeemer and Savior. In his son, through him, he invites men and women to become, in the Holy Spirit, his adopted children and thus heirs of his blessed life. So we can participate in the life of God. Now, Matthew, I'm going to give you a catechism lesson.
Sure.
What do we call that when we are living in communion with God?
I think we would call it the state of grace.
Exactly. Exactly.
Important state to be in.
Yes. So this call should resound throughout the world. Did you hear that? Mm-hmm. Throughout the world.
Well, and think about it, too. Let's take a step back from the text for just a second.
Please do.
This is what, I mean, 12 fishermen, right?
That's
120 disciples, inclusive of them and the Blessed Virgin and the Holy Woman.
Right? Yep, correct.
And they, in a matter of just, I mean, a few centuries, changed the face of the world.
That's right.
I mean, they changed. Western culture was completely transformed. The dignity of women, the abolition of slavery. I mean, all this stuff happened, you know, at a time when those things were unthinkable. And only because of people who embraced that state of grace, that realized that God wants us to be his children, that we are heirs. That's an important word. It's our inheritance. We have a right to this eternal life, but only if we're part of that family. I mean, Terry, it's become so very popular to say our brothers and sisters. I see people say that. You hear even Bishop the other day said, our Muslim brothers and sisters. Mm. It's like, well, with due respect, all human beings are made in the image and likeness of God. Everybody deserves respect.
That's right.
Just by virtue of being a human being. You
That's
don't have
correct.
To do anything to deserve it.
That's right.
You know, because you're made in the image and likeness of God. But brother and sister, no, that's exclusive for people that have been baptized.
That's a fact.
That is what being the family of God is about, that only the people, and a Muslim wouldn't call God his father.
No, he wouldn't.
Not in a million years.
No,
but
well,
we do.
Well said. So our summary is, I sent people throughout the world. Christ sent forth the apostles he had chosen. And, you know, just a quick note, you mentioned the first couple hundred years.
Mm-hmm.
The growth of the church every decade was 25% growth. For 300 years.
Wow.
Are you kidding me? And interesting about it, the first 300 years, the church was persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what does that tell you?
The world that church was born into, the individuals.
Much like our own right now. Right?
Yeah, well, the one difference, and without getting into the philosophy of it, but in the physical world, two-thirds of the entire population of the Roman Empire were slaves.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
And when you think about these people converting, and it's like, you know what? They didn't stop being slaves. Right? What did Christianity give to the world that the pagan religions didn't have? And the answer to that question is hope.
Yep.
You know, that St. Paul can say it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Greek or if you're a man or a woman or if you're a slave or you're free because we're all one in Christ Jesus. That was an idea that was unstoppable, and it needs to be resurrected.
Amen. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That just said it. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Strengthened by this mission, the apostles went forth, preaching everywhere where the Lord worked with them, confirming the message by their signs that attended it. You know, Matthew, I think of all 10 commandments. In other words, it's not a pick and choose thing. See, the catechism says, those who, with God's help, have welcomed Christ's call freely, it's a free will, responded to it and urged it on by the love of Christ to proclaim the good news everywhere in the world. This treasure received from the apostles, see, it's being passed on to us, has been faithfully guarded by their successors. All Christ's faithful are called to hand it on from one generation to the next by professing their faith, by living it, fraternal sharing, and by celebrating it in the liturgy and in prayer.
Terry, there's...
Hit me.
There's
a lot there.
You already put some emphasis on this. I'm going to underline it twice.
Okay.
And that's the word all.
Yeah.
Go to make disciples of all nations, teach them all things, whatever I've commanded you. That's everybody, everywhere, and everything that he taught.
You got it.
Okay. Not some people, some places,
nope.
And some of the stuff that he taught. Everybody, everywhere, and everything that he taught. And everything that follows that is about obedience. That's the relationship between God and man. God gives us, everything.
Okay, that's right.
From our end, it's like, okay, God gives us this. From God's perspective, the relationship is we're obedient or we're not. It's obedience that creates that relationship. And obedience, like Chesterton said, obedience is a choice. Right. A slave can't be obedient because he doesn't have a choice. And that's what the thing you said, you have to freely accept. You have to, you know, this life of grace has to be freely accepted.
We're going to take James, a convert to the Catholic faith, right after this quick break. I'd like to hear from James. I just want to say this, that we wonder why the faith hasn't been passed on right now in our families, as again, we need to know it and love it and to live it. And that's what Virgin Most Powerful Radio is all about. With clarity and charity, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. When we come back, James is a convert to the Catholic faith. He's going to weigh in on the conversation. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold sitting in for Jess. We'll be right back. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I love this. We're reading from the Catholic Catechism of the Catholic Church. We're teaching people right from what the church official teachings are. This is, I feel like a kid in a candy store, and I have someone who I love doing it with, and that's Matt Arnold. You're actually listening to what we talk about when we go to lunch on occasions about faith.
So that's the truth. You know, I'll tell you something else that we talk about. I want to tell you that right now that it is a sacrifice for this man to sit here next to me. If you're watching on YouTube, you see that we're both seated. Terry normally does the show standing because he's so filled with energy that he, you know, it kills him to sit still for a minute. He said, I don't know how you can do it. And I told him, all you have to do is gain a couple of hundred pounds and you'll understand why I sit instead of moving around.
Oh, you're funny. Hey, Matthew, I want to bring in James, who's a convert to the Catholic faith.
Okay, I guess Richie's back behind
James,
the board now.
James, can you come on in, brother? What's on your mind? Well, it's great to have you on board.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm inspired hearing your conversation. I had here that, you know, John Henry Newman says that to be steeped in history is to cease to be Protestant.
Absolutely.
So I have a good book here. You know, I've been reading the books here. I have Terry's good book called Share Your Faith.
Yeah.
I read the Behold Your Mother, Rome Home.
Yep.
I ordered this book called The History, the Real Story of Catholic History. And what I want to know is, what is another good resource to read as far as the Catholic history, and also how to properly genuflect and you know, do everything properly? Because now my next goal, you inspired me, is to start reading the Catechism.
Good.
You know, I have a lot of Protestants that are my former friends. So we get in conversations, we're into why do we pray to the saints. So I already have them on that, you know, going on. And some of the questions that they thought they were going to, you know, stick me with, I was able to answer.
Yeah.
And so now we're that. So now we're on Peter. We're talking about, I'm going to meet with them. I'm going to meet with about five Protestants. Next Saturday.
God bless you.
They're probably going to try to gang up on me on as far as why is Peter the rock, but I'm ready for them. You know, the Petros and the Petra.
Absolutely.
So, and I learned all that from Terry and Jesse, from the resources. And I'll say it again, that I love being Catholic. I wish I was Catholic sooner. That's the only regret I have about being Catholic. I wish I was Catholic sooner. And so I want to know another good resource that I could read as far as the Catholic Church.
Sure, like
you
history.
Recommend any other
Go ahead, Matt. History, I have one from Ignatius.
There's a couple of good books that have come out recently, but there's also, I think, the works of Hilary Belloc or Hilaire. It's Hilaire. It's a French. I think I would pronounce it Hilary because that's the English pronunciation. He was an English guy.
Fair enough.
But Hilaire Belloc wrote a lot of books in that regard and about specific things. He wrote a book about the Reformation that's really good that might be able to help you with some understanding of the history of where your friends were coming from and also the real history of the church.
Yeah. In my comment, James, I have a Philip Hughes book of popular church history that's kind of an overview of church history, but there's a new book that came out from Ignatius Press by James Hitchcock, and he's also a convert to the Catholic faith.
And a professor of history.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is, the book was, it's like...
Hitchcock is sharp as a tack. I'm glad to hear that they're...
1,200 page book.
Wow.
And I got it for my brother for Christmas.
Okay.
So I have, it's our, the Catholic faith, history of the Catholic faith. Go to ignatiuspress.com, James Hitchcock, type in, and that book gives you a fair assessment of 2,000 years of history. So I hope that helps. Hey, James, let me ask you, for the benefit of our listeners, You have been a Catholic now, what, maybe 2 years? Is that a fair statement?
I was baptized, no, it was last year, 2018.
Just last year.
Okay, wow.
And so tell me, yes. James, your knowledge now of studying the faith, I was hoping that you would, someone would say that. Now, we're going to be going through the Catechism of the Catholic Church on Fridays. Is that something that interests you, or do you think that maybe we should just continue to talk about the cultural issues, or do you think it's important that we go through the fundamental teachings of the Catholic faith?
No, I think it's important to go through the fundamentals of Catholic faith because, you know, I have people coming up to me, and I'm just a recent Catholic, asking me questions about the Catholic faith.
I have
a sister-in-law that told me about a month ago that she no longer, this is a Catholic now, there's been a Catholic since, as you call them, cradle Catholics.
Yes,
right.
She told me that she no longer believes in purgatory.
Ouch.
This is a Catholic now.
I believe
you.
It.
And I got engaged, and that wasn't the proper time to engage her because we were at a hospital.
Right.
Why she does not? Yeah. Why does she does not? And there's a lot of Catholics. Like I have another friend who's a Catholic. He doesn't believe in a Catholic faith because he read he read a book called Babylon, the Mystery Religion by
Islam
or something like that.
Yeah.
So he's all into that. Okay, so now I'm going to have to work on this guy.
Huh.
Then I have another guy that doesn't go to church at all because he believes in something else, you know, that he feels that he's still in the limbo. So I'm working on him. So I have him coming up from all sides of me. But you know what?
God bless you.
I love the, not to try to win an argument, just to hear them out because I have those same arguments.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you know what? I think you're making another important point that for everybody that, is, you know, engaging with their friends and family and whatnot. You just told us about three or four different people that had three or four different perspectives. And the way to answer that is not, and it's, listening is super important.
Absolutely.
But it's not about being an expert in every aberration that's out there. It's about being an expert in the truth.
Amen.
And then that's how you're going to be able to share that with people. Not so much to say, well, here's what you believe and here's why it's wrong, but here's what I believe and here's why it's true.
Well said.
Yes.
James, I want to thank you for your support, too. I know you've been on fire. I go back, James, just for the benefit of our listeners. Do you recall the times when you used to come and you were fascinated by the rosary? Because today we talked about what Bishop Sheen's quote was about, the benefit of praying the rosary. You're a convert. Have you been praying your rosary on a regular basis?
I pray the rosary every day. My goal is to get that rosary to three times a day, but here's my ultimate goal, and I'm working on it, to say it in Latin. I hear it in Latin and Google, and it's beautiful. Sometimes I go to sleep hearing it in Latin.
Awesome.
And I don't know what it is. Like I tell Terry, I go to church, I sit there, and there's something about the Eucharist that I feel like I'm mesmerized. I go there I go to Mass every day, and I'm not trying to, you know,
no, it's just
you know, brag. I'm just saying that I have this passion, and I go to church, and I sit in there, and something about that Eucharist, I see it, and I say, this is amazing. The creator of the universe
I love it.
Is going to be in me right now.
Amen.
And this is very serious. You know, I'm going to bow down to this great, awesome God who's going to be. It's actually quite terrifying to me that he's going to be in me.
That's right.
Greater is he that is in you than in he that is in the world. I tell myself, my goodness, God is going to dwell in me right now.
Wow.
Hey, I'm invincible.
Yeah, what you're saying too ties right into what was he was reading in the Catechism, because it says there when Jesus gives the Great Commission to the apostles and says to go in the world and spread the gospel, teach them to observe all that I have commanded you, and he says, and behold, I will be with you all days. How is he with us?
Well,
and it's precisely through the grace of the sacraments, but most especially through his real presence in the Holy Eucharist, in the Blessed Sacrament, that he really, physically as well as spiritually, is with us.
And James, you asked the question about reverence because I know we as Catholic, cradle Catholics, a lot of times don't even show proper respect for the Blessed
Sacrament.
Right,
about how to genuflect and all that stuff.
And sometimes people want to just bow their head, and that's not the worship of God. You know, we bow before the altar because that's where the altar of sacrifice, but before the Blessed Sacrament, we go down on our knee. And I would just recommend this. I'm just going to tell you, I think we need to show more reverence for the Blessed Sacrament because that's going to show people that it is Jesus. Too many people in our own church, James, have no clue about the real presence. I've been doing a survey for 40 years, and asking people what they believe when they come to church, and about 80% of the people don't get it. Now, James, you're a convert to the Catholic faith. I just got to say, you get it, but I just wish more people would get what you got, and I thank God that you are here in our church, because you're going to light fires that maybe a cradle Catholic like myself can't. So I appreciate you doing what you're doing.
Yeah, and I remember, Terry, one time we were at the parking lot and you approached two young people and you asked them that question. You say, what is the
right, you were there.
And they said it was a symbol.
That's right.
They said it was a symbol.
Yep.
And I cringed. I go, what? And you said a symbol?
Yeah, I forgot about that. See, James, I do that all the time, but I remember now it was two Filipino young men in their 20s, mm-hmm. and they go to church every Sunday, and they never got the teachings of the church, and they go because mom and dad are there. And mm-hmm. it's sad, but I want to say this, James. You've inspired me to do more in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, and I'm sure our listeners are saying the same thing. It's about time we go out and live this Catholic faith and show people by our example that we truly believe that Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, is in that tabernacle.
Amen.
So thank you, James.
All right.
All right.
Thank you so much for your call, James. Appreciate you being part of the program today.
You betcha. God love you, brother. Matthew, I can't believe I'd forgotten when James said that. I know him because I was at his baptism.
Oh.
And he had been coming to our church here and asking me lots of questions. He was mm-hmm. a fundamentalist.
Right.
And so all these questions had to be answered. And it was the rosary, I believe, just like your story.
Right.
He fell in deep in love with Mary. And Mary brought him to Jesus.
Yep.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. That's how that works.
Matthew, I don't want to go back to the catechism because we just have a minute or two. But I want to, before I turn over what you're going to be doing, I want to encourage our listeners. We have a conference coming up for women September 7th. And
yes.
It's on femininity, and we have several people speaking. We have Mary Danielle, my wife, speaking on what St. John Paul II had to say about the dignity of women. Barbara Nicolosi, who's our host here at Virgin Most Powerful.
Right. Eileen Blakowski, who's working she's an advisor for the Bishops Committee regarding the sex education stuff.
Excellent.
That's happening in California. And, you want to talk about true femininity. There's a place where, Mama Bear needs to show her.
Absolutely.
Herself.
And Father Murr is going to be coming, the priest from Northern California we've
Excellent.
Had on the radio. So it's going to be a great lineup. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us and register 877-526-2151. Matthew, you know what I'm going to ask you. What
yeah.
state should you be living in, brother?
That would be a state of grace, Terry.
What state shouldn't we be living in? Not even for a second.
Not even for a second would be a state of mortal sin. And should you be unhappily enough to find yourself in that state, you need to get out of it by heading into the confessional. I'll see you there tomorrow.
I want to thank you. Someone just texted me at 661-972-7872 and says, I want to be a monthly donor. I'll call you right after I get off the air. Thank you. And if you'd like to be joining me here at Virgin Most Powerful and supporting us, we sure can use monthly donors. Call me, 661-972-7872. Now you know why I get so many phone calls.
That's right. And you can also go online to vmpr.org, hit one button. All right. God bless you.
What's up next, Matt?
That'd be Happy Hour with Matthew Arnold, so stay tuned.
God love you. Full sheen ahead.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.